good times. There's gonna be good times. Good times.
I know there's gonna be.
Work every day till we meet ends. Half it on it up on the weekends. Bust a toast to your real friend. Tell me what you're drinking, girl.
I know there's gonna be good times.
Keep running about the money.
Welcome, people of the internet, to an all-new edition of the Stew Pod, the Yahoo Sports Baseball Podcast. I am Mike Oz.
And I am Chris Swick.
Chris, this is, I've dubbed it Everyone Hates Chris Week. I feel like you got called out by Marlins, man. Let's just start there.
It's been a week, man. When you write about Caucasian Heritage Night and A-Rod the same day, you're going to get some mail.
How are you doing mentally? Are you okay?
You know, we had some rough patches, but we're recovering now.
Okay.
And I feel like I could take it, you know. At me on Twitter, bro. If you're mad, come at me.
So Chris, for anyone who wasn't paying attention to the Stew on Friday, Chris wrote about the Caucasian Heritage Nights that got canceled, and then he wrote a A-Rod piece about how you, basically, if you can't enjoy A-Rod this year, that's your fault. A-Rod's great. He's put on a great show, blah, blah, blah. And you asked me at that point if you thought which one you thought you'd get more hate mail from. So I'm curious to hear the results. Which one got you more hate mail?
Caucasian Heritage Night got me the most hate mail. And the comments were way worse there. So, overwhelmingly. And that's what you had predicted.
Yeah, yeah, no. I mean, people hate A-Rod, but ooh, boy, do they love to jump into race wars. So
yes,
I don't know, man. It's something. And why I saw this, I was actually up and like cleaning my kitchen on a Friday night at 10 o'clock or whatever it was. Marlins man called you out.
Yeah, and I still don't really know why.
Okay.
He called me out. He said, "Think next time before you speak." Basically. before you embarrass yourself, I think it said.
He's not taking you to any games anytime soon.
No, and so I contacted him, and I said, hey, it's been a crazy day. What are you referring to here?
which of these reasons are you upset with me?
And so he thought I had said something nasty about him on Twitter, which I don't believe I have or had, and I kind of told him that, and then he was like, okay, I guess you're right, I'll delete the tweet. I have since taken a screenshot of the tweet because I wanted it to live on forever, so I have it archived for my own usage.
We should get Marlins man on the podcast. That's a good idea.
Is it? I don't know if it is.
What if he flies us out to Miami and we have a podcast on the go?
Then yes. I can't spot.
So I'm really excited about this week's show. As we sort of are leading to here, there's been a lot of stuff that happened in baseball this past week between A-Rod and Pete Rose stuff, the ongoing stuff with the All-Star game. We're approaching the mid part of the season. Lots going on right now, and we've been wanting to have Jeff Fassen on, who is the Yahoo Sports baseball columnist. We've been wanting to have him on for a few weeks, and this seemed like a perfect week. So it's a fun thing. Like, I've known Jeff for since 2002, basically. So him and I go way back. Chris has known Jeff since today.
Yep.
So, you know, it's kind of a fun thing for us to talk some baseball. And I think you guys are going to enjoy it. We're going to talk about all those things. We're going to ask Jeff some off-the-wall questions. So stay tuned for that. This is the Stew Pod.
I know that's going to be good.
Mike Oz, Chris Swick, and we have a very special guest joining us today. We've had some Major League Baseball players on the show, but we've never had, I don't think, anyone as famous as our following guest. He's an author, movie star. He is the second most famous guy to go to Syracuse behind Carmelo Anthony, and he is just an all-around great person. Jeff Fassen, folks. Give him a round of applause. Yay. Yeah, Jeff Fassen.
Is it bad that I'm clapping for myself?
that was all Jeff. He was the only one. He was the only one clapping. Jeff, how's it going?
I'm doing great. How are you, fellas?
We're doing good.
Really good.
I've been wanting to have you on the show for for a few weeks now, and I thought this was perfect because there's just so much crap that happened in baseball this week. They were nice enough to us. I think like basketball ended and NHL ended, and they just hit us with just all kinds of crazy stories. And some of them aren't like the biggest news stories in the world, but it's been a lot of entertaining news, it seems like. And that's what works in me and Chris's world.
I think the the best thing that has happened this week was the guy catching the ball with the baby in his hand. And not just like the baby. He was feeding a baby when he caught the ball.
But don't you want nets, Jeff? Aren't you in favor of nets?
I am in favor of nets, but that would have gone over the net.
Well, there's been a lot this week. We have A-Rod to talk about. We have double tapping on Instagram, all-star voting. We want to talk a little bit about Jeff's book. I think we're almost reaching the midpoint of the season, so that's kind of something we want to talk about a little bit. But, Jeff, I'm wondering to you, like, what's been the biggest story this week?
I think it's probably Pete Rose. And Pete Rose is just the most tired act in the world. I'm so over Pete Rose and so over him trying to get back into baseball. And just the lies. He just lies. Like, when his mouth is open, the guy is lying. And this is just more proof of it. You know, for like a quarter century now, he has said he never bet on baseball when he was a player. But it's like the same thing, like, you know, Ron Washington using blow for the first time when he's like 58 years old. Like, do you actually believe that that could happen? Do you actually believe Pete Rose could be gambling as a manager but was not gambling as a player before that? It was just like the height of absurdity. And yeah, typical Pete Rose, though.
Well, I'm 35 years old, and I was thinking about starting meth tomorrow, so we'll
see. Well, you're in the right place to do it, man. Fresno's got some good stuff.
I think Chris is going to start drinking coffee tomorrow.
You don't drink coffee?
Right. No, of course I do. I need it to survive.
Oh, see, I'm 34 years old, and I don't touch coffee. I hate coffee. Can't do it.
Chris, does any of this change your opinion on Pete Rose?
No, I'm kind of with Jeff here. I mean, I just kind of assume that all of this stuff already happened. Pete Rose is like just a total parody of himself at this point. And the thing, I don't know, I don't want to take this too far off topic, but I get upset with some of the comments we get on Rose, mainly because it seems like people don't realize that he signed he agreed to the lifetime banishment. Like, people forget that all the time. So they're like, stop picking on Pete Rose. And it's like, well, you know, he probably signed this so that this stuff wouldn't get out. And now it's all coming out. So there's
Mike,
not really
I thought you were going to ask, does this change your opinion of Jeff Passan when I said I don't drink coffee?
I don't drink coffee either. So we are 2-1 anti-coffee on Chris.
I hate both of you guys now.
What I think is funny, and I may skew way far into current events on this, but I kind of feel like there's a certain segment of people who are just going to hold on to their, like, yay Pete Rose thing for as long as possible, and they're kind of like the people who are just like, yeah, let's keep the Confederate flag. Like, yeah, I'm going to stand with that one until no one, you know, is standing next to me. Yay Pete Rose. And I feel
I was going to compare it more to, like, the Barry Bonds. Not deniers, yes, necessarily. I think it's people who will advocate for Barry Bonds no matter what. You know, Barry Bonds at some point in his life is going to admit that he used steroids. And when he does admit that, did you lose me for a second there? Because my head's
okay. It happens, Jeff. This is a podcast.
I know. As I was saying, I think that Barry Bonds at some point is going to admit that he used steroids. And when he comes clean, the same people who were saying, why are you persecuting him, are just going to turn around and say, yeah, well, he did it and he came out and told the truth about it, so why are you slagging Barry Bonds?
I think that's probably a pretty good transition into our next guy. Yeah, I mean, I think Chris's main man.
I'm going to jump in there real fast, because the other comments we get are like, what Pete Rose did is way better than what A-Rod and Bonds did. And it's kind of like, I get your argument, but betting on baseball is literally like rule number one. It's rule number 21, but, you know, that was a clearly defined thing. So anyway, sorry, I screwed up the segue now.
Okay, you can segue it yourself, man. Just go into it. Go.
So A-Rod, how about that guy? No, so
A-Rod, obviously we know he had his 3,000th hit earlier this week. It was a home run, and there's some kerfuffle about whether he's going to get that ball back. Notorious ball hawk Zach Hample, I think is his name, he caught the ball, and he had previously said he would not give it back. He hasn't yet, but it seems like he may have softened his stance on it. So, forgetting all that for a minute, if you had caught the ball, would you give it back to A-Rod, and what would be your price?
Well, first off, can we not forget it for a minute? Because I just want to come out and say, Zach Hample's the biggest turd in all of baseball. I mean, he really is.
You're bigger than A-Rod?
Oh, I mean, he makes A-Rod look like a Boy Scout. Like, somebody who is 37 years old and catching baseballs for a living, there's just, like, there's something to the whole thing. And look, he's played it very well. You have to give him credit for that. He has made this, like, a week-long story in an era where 24 hours is long. And that is impressive job by him. But I'm just done with it. I'm done with it. And I would not give the ball back. I would do what he is
doing.
I would do what he's doing. Absolutely. I would hold. Alex Rodriguez has made like $250 million. No more than that. He's made like $500 million.
The question is like not give it to him, Jeff. I mean, would you want it or would you be like,
this is outrage. This is an outrage.
I would sell the hell out of that thing. I would sit firm at $1 million.
Okay.
Wow. I would give it back to him.
Yeah, of course you would. He's your boyfriend. You love A-Rod. You would give it back to him as long as you could get in his presence and just genuflect right there. You would go down and say, Mr. Rodriguez.
Chris's demand would be, hey, man, you know that picture of you in the mirror? Let me be the mirror.
I would be like, look, dude, all I want is the centaur painting, you know?
What is with your Rod crush? Like, where does that come from? Is it just
I just
like...
prefer anarchy, so I wanted him to do really well this season so people would freak out about it.
Okay.
And it's kind of coming true.
But yeah, it's like the All-Star voting. It's great.
Well,
The thing to me with A-Rod and the Zach Hample thing, I guess, is that this is what bothers me, and this is on a real level. Like, I don't enjoy the idea that he's like, no, I'm going to give A-Rod the finger. He's never getting my ball. No, I'm not giving it to the Yankees. And a couple of days later, like, oh, maybe I'll give it to the Yankees, and I got a wish list. And it reminds me of this. It kind of reminds me of, like, the other night my kids were playing, and my four-year-old, like, really wanted this toy that my one-year-old was playing with. And I'm like, man, just let him play with it. And he's like, no, I really want it. I'm like, okay, take it and go in the other room and don't let him see it. And, of course, he gets it and takes it and, like, holds it over his head and is like, ha, 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 ha. And that's essentially what it is. Like, if you want to keep the ball, keep the ball. Like, just go and take it and shut up and, you know, don't make a big deal out of it. Almost like the guy that caught the 660 ball. Like, he's just like, all right, I took the ball, I'm out, you know. And this guy just wants to make theater out of it. And that's the point where it gets annoying to me. So he's done a good job of making us feel sympathetic for A-Rod again.
Zach Hample is a four-year-old and Alex Rodriguez is a one-year-old, you're saying?
I mean, kind of.
But I'm
on board with that.
What I love the most about this story is that it is entirely possible just to hate all parties involved. I mean, A-Rod, Hample, the Yankees, I mean, it's just sort of one of those things where you're like, it's always like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia where you're like, all of you people are horrible.
I just don't understand why he, like, if he hates A-Rod and doesn't want an A-Rod signed bat, why can't he just be like, well, why don't you give me a Jeter signed bat? I'm sure the Yankees have a ton of those laying around, so, like...
You think Jeter would sign a bat for A-Rod?
No, I'm saying for Hample, that Jeter probably... You know,
the Yankees just
probably
have
a million Jeter signed bats sitting around in a warehouse. They could just give it to Hample. Hample gives the ball to A-Rod.
Yeah, I wonder.
It's all done. That's it.
And then Hample writes an essay for Players Tribune. Good.
I wonder if the Yankees do have like a vault of swag. Like I have a story coming out on Friday about this this bat maker, a guy named Danny Luckett, who has been making bats for Louisville Slugger for 46 years, and he's retiring finally. And he was telling me yesterday about how there's this vault of like bat models where they have like an original Babe Ruth bat and a Hank Aaron bat, and they call the vault, they call it Fort Knox, and that's how they make these different bats. They go in there and they get the model and they make it exactly like it is. And it I can't imagine how valuable that place is with an original Babe Ruth bat, a Ty Cobb bat. You know, you can go on and see the types of bats that they have in there. It's incredible.
That's interesting. I will await to read that story, Jeff.
Yeah, that's awesome.
On Yahoo Sports.
There you go.
On Yahoo Sports, yes. Speaking of models, let's transition into our next
thing I want to talk
about. That's how it's done, Swick.
That was really
That's
smooth.
How it's done, Swick.
That's how it's done right there.
That's radio, Swick.
Pablo Sandoval, as we all know, got caught for double tapping some Instagram photos while he was I'm assuming taking a dump. But he could have been peeing, who knows, the other day in the Red Sox game. And that's kind of old news now. He's kind of been pushed out of the news cycle. But I did want to ask this. Aside from Pablo Sandoval, who I think is the kind of person who would get caught for this, obviously, who do you guys think is the kind of person who would get in trouble for, I don't know, creeping on random girls, even posting hot pictures on Instagram?
Do you guys remember when Aroldis Chapman was a free agent? Some of the pictures that came out.
No.
It was amazing. He was, I think he defected in like Andorra or some country that I really had not heard of and could not point to on the map. And he was with this agency that was like a fledgling agency, you know, a guy who had never done a major league contract before. And they had a Facebook page up. And there were like a dozen pictures of Aroldis Chapman at the strip club. And just based on that alone, Aroldis Chapman, based on that and based on the fact that closers, I don't know if you guys know this, but most closers spend like the first through sixth or seventh innings in the clubhouse
all the time in the world, man.
Like I have gotten texts from closers in the middle of a game, you know, sitting in like massage chairs and just chilling. Like if you're a closer, you live the life. Like, you get paid a lot of money. You pitch one inning at a time. You don't have to do any of the cardio or any of the work that you know, most players do pregame. I mean, being a closer is the best. And Aroldis Chapman unquestionably has the most time to go and take a dump and double tap.
Well, and especially because his team doesn't win a lot of games now, so, you know.
And he's not coming in unless there's a save situation. So,
Chris, who's your pick?
I was going to go with somebody young, but now this closer talk has me thinking Papelbon. I mean, it's got to be, right? I was going to say like a young guy like Carlos Correa or even like Bryce Harper, because you would assume that they're going to be on Instagram all
Bryce
the time.
Harper probably has dudes to do it for him, though.
Right.
You know, no, he has the entourage.
I'm going Papelbon, though. He's my number one choice now.
All right, I pick Yasiel Puig for most things, but yeah. I pick a Yasiel Puig, and especially for the mental image of I feel like Yasiel Puig is talented enough that he could field a ground ball in right field, throw it to third base, whip out his phone, double taps some pictures of a hottie by the time he gets to third base, and then just be like, yeah, what?
Can we have a dark horse here? Like, Johnny Cueto, after the revelation of his Instagram, has to be, like, you know, 95th percentile on that list.
I feel like Johnny Cueto would be actually double-tapping pictures of, like, I don't know, ball pits and people like, jumping off, you know, like, buildings and just, like, random stuff. Like
if somebody posted that picture of George Costanza lounging, like, in his underwear, Cueto would tap that, right?
Probably. I think he would just like sort of just the strange stuff.
Who is taking those pictures?
Great question.
I need to know because they're not selfies. Someone's taking those.
That's actually a really good question just to ask in general. When you look at Instagram, I tend to do that. I'm like, who took this picture? Who's with you right now?
You don't think Cueto's got a selfie stick?
Some of the lounging ones, he's definitely not taking those.
What if he ties it to his hair and like whips his hair out? He could do that. Could happen. All right, let's talk about the All-Star game, Chris. Chris and I have been talking about this for weeks, obviously. I know, Jeff, you have. You being in Kansas City, I think you have a good perspective on stuff maybe that other people don't. But first, before we get into the Kansas City stuff specifically, I want to know, like, what do you think is the ideal outcome for all parties involved?
Well, I think that's different. I mean, for Major League Baseball, the ideal outcome is that Omar Infante does not start at second base. I think the ideal outcome maybe is that Omar Infante gets voted in and like pulls a hamstring and is out for the game.
Yeah, I guess not ideal. Well, not for everybody, but like, what's the soft spot where everybody's sort of like, no one throws a fit? I guess that maybe that's the question.
I think four or five Royal starters, because you can make a good argument for Salvador Perez. You can make a good argument. I don't think Hosmer's going to get it now, but you can make a good argument for Mike Moustakas. You know, he's hitting almost 330 now, a couple home runs the last couple games. He's had an excellent year. Shortstop in the American League is so awful outside of Carlos Correa that you could probably make an argument for Alcides Escobar. And the outfielders, Lorenzo Cain, you know, he's been one of the best outfielders in baseball. And Alex Gordon's a two-time All-Star, you know, a guy who's acquitted himself very well, too. So I think right there, you could have four or five guys, and you can understand why they are voted in. But if Infante gets in, that's when chaos reigns.
Yeah, I don't think there's any situation where everybody's happy, because even if the commissioner steps in and removes Infante from the starting lineup somehow, or if they say like, "Ooh, we took out these bad votes," and it turns out that only four Royals are starting instead of eight. Then Royals fans are going to be just catatonic.
Royals fans are going to be pissed no matter what happens if they don't get eight. Like that, that's what the expectation has been set at this point. That is what talk radio here is talking about. That's, you know, everyone in Kansas City wants eight. Simple as that.
So, I mean, what happens if they don't get it? How can Royals fans get worse than they have been this season? Oh, I'm going to get hate mail now.
Yeah, congratulations. I know the feeling on that, and it's trust me. I do local radio here, and at the end of every segment that I'm on once a week, they do pass and texts. And pass and texts are when they read the text messages that come in when I'm on the air, and they are universally like miserable, hateful, and yes. it gets worse and worse week after week, and it's glorious. Like, I really do appreciate a good burn, and there have been some good ones.
Is it worse than a comment section on Yahoo?
No. Okay, yeah.
Work on it, KC Radio. Work on it. Side note here, have KC fans just been watching St. Louis fans all these years and just waiting for their moment to kind of strike and just be a-holes? Like, is that what this is?
Yeah, there's something in the water in Missouri, right?
But I mean, like
I don't even think, you know what? I don't even think Cardinals fans are like that. I think Cardinals fans are at this point just so, what's the word I'm looking for? Hypnotized by like the aura of their St. Louisness that they don't know what to do with themselves. They don't know how to handle it, and so you are born and bred into this culture where anything that isn't pro Cardinals is wrong and evil.
And my inbox proves that, man. I mean, I feel like they're the people who I get the most hate mail and just the vilest hate mail from is Cardinals.
Yeah, I used to do it was probably like a bi-weekly mailbag.
At the letters.
Yes, very good. Wow. How do you weren't even working for us then?
No,
how do
man,
you
I'm come on, Jeff. You know I'm your number one fan.
Yeah, you are loyal, Mike Oslo. I'll give you that, man. Goes
number
back
100,
like
guys, number 100.
I was gonna say I've known you for like
almost 10 years. No, more than 10 years.
Oh well, like yeah, almost yeah. Like 13 years.
Yeah,
it's been a long time. And at the letters, I always had a Cardinals hate mail of the week.
The Braves fans, I thought for a while, were pretty insufferable because they always felt like they were never getting enough attention or enough respect. And they're now that really they bad. Suck, they've kind of shut up.
But, no, they haven't shut up.
Well,
like
I don't hear as much of them.
The night it was the night that Freddie Gonzalez, who did he call out for having an illegal substance?
Will Smith?
Yes. The night that happened, I put up a picture of Craig Kimbrell's hat.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got destroyed for that. Oh, my goodness.
It's probably not doctoring baseballs, but that's another good transition, guys. Almost at the midpoint of the season, Jeff, what's been the big story? What's the story of the year to you so far? What sticks out?
Well, there have been some good ones. I think we've been over a couple of them. I think A-Rod's up there. I think Pete Rose is up there. I think the emergence of the Astros is probably up there, and the ineptitude of the Red Sox and the Cardinals hacker. But to me, when we look back on this year,
we're going to look at it as the year of the rookie, or the year that an immense wave of talent came into baseball. And I wrote about this a couple of weeks ago. The number of guys who have either debuted this year or are rookies this year, and the talent level that's come into baseball is absolutely incredible. And I'm not going to call it unprecedented, because I'm sure there have been years like this before. And, you know, as much as we want to jump on the hype train of some guys, some of them are going to have great rookie years and then suck the rest of their career. But the guys, you know, the potential superstars who have come to the big leagues this year, you know, you could say there's at least a dozen guys who could be regular all-stars in years to come.
I'm going Bryce Harper, man. That's a good answer, but I'm going Bryce.
Oh man, I'm so glad you guys said A-Rod and Bryce Harper, so I didn't have to be the guy who brought them up for the sixth straight podcast. So those were my two answers, and I would also say the Astros.
I was gonna say the Astros are my other one.
For sure.
I'm pulled for the Astros, man. I like that they're just sort of this, they're up and coming, and you know, suck so hard, and
they're not a great team though. Like, that's pisses me off so much about baseball these days. They're just no great teams,
and they strike out a lot. I'm all about it, man. Bring me your kind of, you know, tarnished, like not perfect self, and let's just ride into the World Series, guys. Let's do it.
I mean, the thing that I find interesting in the American League is that the three teams I probably would have eliminated from the postseason in like March, they're all playing exceptionally well. So, like, the Astros,
Twins,
the Twins,
Rays,
and Tampa. Yeah.
Yep.
And I think they're all way above 500 at this point, right?
Twins are a little closer, but I think Rays and Astros are pretty well above. And
we all picked the Rays to finish last, right? I mean, I know.
No, I picked them to finish third.
Oh, good job.
Did you?
Jeff, I think you did, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure I did, yeah. I don't even want – I don't like looking back. Predictions suck.
there's somebody who still, like, calls me on a prediction from 2 years ago. He'll just, like, in the comments, like, still. Because in 2013, I didn't pick so-and-so, and that's why I'm
– You know what? You're never like, allowed to have an opinion that's wrong these days.
Yeah.
Like, just never. I'm still getting it from Cardinals fans about – saying that the Braves won the Shelby Miller trade. Like, you get 1 year of Jason Hayward, who's a good, but I think at least by wins above replacement, overrated ball player, and the draft pick that comes with him, and Jordan Walden, who's hurt, for Shelby Miller, who they have like 4 years on and has a sub-2 ERA. Like, to me, there's no question who wins that trade. Done. And St. Louis, yeah, St. Louis sucks.
Jeff, just be happy you don't have your email at the bottom of things you write. We'll just leave it there.
I am, but somebody figured out my email and cast about 200 all-star votes in my name.
Amazing.
There you go.
Yep.
Join the ranks, Jeff. Join the ranks.
It's good crew.
So I guess I want to, before we move on to the really, really fun stuff, this hasn't even been the fun stuff, Jeff. This is just the taking care of business part. We got fun coming. Don't worry.
I like fun.
I know you've been working on you've just finished up. We're working on a book for a long time. I guess I want to give you the opportunity to plug and talk about it and when we can expect it, and give us your, not quite your elevator pitch, but, you know, not the 2,000 word version.
It is done finally after 3 years of work. I started in June 2012 following Daniel Hudson and Todd Coffey. Hudson, obviously a very good back end reliever with the Diamondbacks now, and Coffey's story has veered off an interesting path. Both of them were coming off of Tommy John surgery. I sat in on Todd Coffey's Tommy John surgery, and what I wanted to do was write the definitive book on the pitching arm. And I didn't know at the time that Tommy John surgery was going to become as big of a deal as it has, but it is so pervasive now and such an issue in the sport that the story evolved, you know, beyond these two guys' story, and into me trying to figure out what the hell is going on, why this is happening, and how they might be able to stop it in the future. And so it's sort of two books in one. You know, it's a very human story about these guys' trials and tribulations, what recovery is like, how it is frankly harder mentally than it is physically. And then me literally going around the world trying to understand what's gone wrong with the arm and how to remedy it. And the two end up at a very interesting place in the end. And I'm very happy that it's done and very proud of how it turned out, because I think it's going to be a pretty important book, frankly, not just for baseball fans to read, but for parents out there who want to know how to keep their kids healthy.
And when is it out?
April 5th, 2016. So we got a little while yet. But
the movie's going to be out in 2018.
Yeah.
Starring John Hamm and Jonah Hill. Jeff's second movie.
You know what? I want to know who stars as Todd Coffey. Like, that's going to be the interesting
John
one.
C. Reilly?
Are you trying to say Jonah Hill is going to play Jeff?
No, it's just a it's just a thing, man. I don't know.
I have to say, I mean, this is going to come off as me being a company man, but that's not necessarily the case. Even before I started working for Yahoo, I was really excited for this book. And I don't want to give away too much, but I heard a rumor that you were at the game where Hudson retore his elbow.
I was. That is actually chapter one. And
yeah, I imagine that was just...
Well, little known fact, that night Ryan Braun got popped. And so I was in the middle, like, this is the first section of the book. I'll just give this part away. So Hudson comes out, and I'm sitting down in the scout section, and first pitch comes in, and it's 95. And the scouts look at each other, and they say, wow. You know, they were not expecting that out of him. Breezes through the first inning. Second inning starts off at 93, then he's at 92, then 91. Scouts are looking at each other like, what the hell's going on? And Nate Eovaldi was actually on a rehab assignment too, and he was the last batter of the inning, and Hudson struck him out at 88. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, either something's wrong or he's trying to work on a cutter or something like that, and I get a text from him, and it says, had to come out, arm feels like S. And right then and there, I knew, oh boy, something here is definitely not good. And then, of course, the Braun stuff comes out, so I am running back and forth between the locker room, trying to understand what's going on there, and trying to do some reporting on the Braun thing, and typing, and you know, writing a column in between. And it was definitely a harrowing night. And I think, you know, I had some questions whether I should start with the book there. You know, you're introducing a character and you want to give a better sense of what the whole book is about. But to me, nothing could quite encapsulate like the sadness and desperation of the whole thing. Like this guy who had worked 11 months harder than he had ever worked in his life for this moment to just lose it all again, and knowing that what he was facing was something only three pitchers in history had done before.
Dum, dum, dum.
In theaters. Yeah, I can't wait to read it.
July
2018. I'll tell you what, I hope they can make a movie out of it. I don't know if
Jonah it's Hill.
I don't know if it's one of those books that can like translate to the big screen, but it would be pretty damn cool.
Jeff,
if
you sell this as a movie, I'm getting you on the record right now. You are going to take me on a cross-country taco journey. We're going to eat tacos in all 50 states, and you're going to pay for it.
Deal.
Okay, there you go. On the record, folks.
I actually, you know what? I was thinking a couple days ago, like, my kids are at the age right now where I wonder if one summer I could just rent an RV and drive around the United States and go to all 30 ballparks and write a story about that. Like, it sounds more like a book.
Oh, no, you're taking an RV. Never mind.
Yeah, I'm taking an RV. I hope I'm not living in Marriott. I just think that would be cool, though, to find a different baseball story in every city that maybe doesn't have to do with, you know, with the major league team that's in the town itself. Or I could just go to every ballpark and, like, write about the food there, and that would be fun, too.
Don't give away your ideas. That's what I'm saying.
All right.
People are listening, man. They might steal them.
That's true.
Yeah. We are gonna have a quick music break. We can all refresh. I need to get a drink of water, and then we're gonna ask the important questions to Jeff Passan. The important questions, Jeff. This is the part of the show where if you need to, you know, mentally prepare yourself, this is the time, man. So I'm gonna give you a minute here.
Hit the music.
All right, we are back on the Stew Pod. Chris Swick, main man Jeff Fasson joining us, and we're going to do our important questions segment with Jeff.
Is that actually what this is called, important questions?
I think it's sort of morphed into that. I think that was just kind of what we called it internally, but now I like it.
I like it. I love it because these are decidedly unimportant questions, I'm guessing. Yeah.
Wow. Well, actually, the first one's a pretty good question.
I'm not saying bad questions. Yeah, I'm just saying important.
Why is this news? There are a bunch of those questions.
No, okay. It's real to me.
Jeff, I know you travel all over the place, and you go eat at some good places. You've taken me to a few of them, and I thank you for it. What is your favorite place to go eat on the road in a major league city?
Oh, my goodness. There's so many good restaurants around the country. It's like narrowing it down would be a very difficult thing. I did. There's a place in Minneapolis called 112 Eatery that I went to on back-to-back nights.
Where the players dwell, by the way.
Is that where the players dwell?
That's a 112 where the players dwell. Stats more cash than Versatile. Inhale.
Yeah, see, that was
like
over.
Tony.
That was over my head. Okay. Damn.
Keep going. Get up in your middle like Moni.
You can keep going, Mike. You got flow.
Go ahead, Jeff.
There are very few restaurants I will go to on back-to-back nights, but during the All-Star game, like the All-Star Sunday night is always like the place, the time for a good meal. And I'm usually like the ringleader in getting good meals together. Like the one night we went to,
Jeff, we're going to get along real well if that's the case.
Because you don't like,
No, I love it. No.
No, he wants somebody to take him places to eat.
Yes.
Yes. I there's got to be a little adventurousness too, because I generally will take people to places that they might not normally go to. I will eat anything. I have no qualms about eating brains or heart or anything like that, because I have faith in chefs that they can usually make it taste pretty good. And if they're going to feed it to me, I feel like, it's like that level of respect that you have to have for somebody's craft. And if you're going into their restaurant, no special orders, nothing like that. Just I love going to like a sushi place and just saying to the sushi chef, just give me what's good. And that's the way to do it. Eating, what the best part of the book, frankly, was going to Japan, because I got to just eat in Japan for 10 days straight. And it was like the most unbelievable week and a half of meals I've had in my life. Amazing.
So speaking of eating, do you consider a hot dog a sandwich?
Oh, God. This is such a difficult question. Because no, it is. Because if you break it down to the elements that are involved, then the answer is obviously yes. But I still have like this nagging thing, like this cognitive dissonance about a hot dog being a sandwich. Like, to me, a hot dog is a hot dog. And the tubed aspect of it is what throws me. Because if you were to put, like, chopped steak, with some peppers, that's a cheesesteak. That's a sandwich, unquestionably. But it's the tubal aspect that has me just riding the fence.
It's not a sandwich. That's...
Yeah.
Is a sandwich a taco?
I like
is that why KDuck hired you? Like, did he ask you that question in your interview?
Yeah, it was that and...
Are you from Chicago? Yeah. All right, good.
do you put ketchup on your hot dog? No, hired.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know if you follow me on Twitter, but my I feel like the most important tweets that I put out there are... the anti-ketchup rhetoric. Like, you know who puts ketchup on hot dogs? Criminals and four-year-olds. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, you should be arrested for putting ketchup on a hot dog. I truly believe that. There should be a special island called Ketchup Hot Dog Island where they banish everybody who dare do that.
Jeff, you did a good segue for me and you didn't even know it. I have a Twitter question, and this is something I've actually probably meant to ask you for like 5 years. We've said we've known each other for a long time, and I have no idea, and I've always wanted to know, what is the story behind your Twitter avatar?
I've never told you that, huh?
No.
Senior year in high school, there's this kid named Matt Keller, and Matt had like some sort of bad experience at a WWF back then event and complained to the WWF, and they gave him front, like, corner tickets, you know, like down at the edge of the aisle, like right where the corner meets. They gave him like corner tickets for Raw, and it was the Raw where Mike Tyson showed up for the first time. This was like apex of the WWF, like Tyson, you know, showing up, and it was in Cleveland, and it was going to be a huge event, and he had two tickets. And it was either me or a kid named Chaz Barricado. And Chaz, actually, funny enough, is a chef now. I think he's been in Cincinnati and in Indianapolis. So he's like a pretty renowned chef now. And Keller could take either me or Chaz, and he chose Chaz. And so as a consolation prize, he said that he would take a sign and that I would have to look out for the sign, and he would make sure the sign was on Raw. And indeed, the sign was on Raw, and it said, "Jeff Passan is not here." And so that is my avatar on the USA Network on Monday Night Raw, the night Mike Tyson came to confront Stone Cold Steve Austin. I was not there, and there's a sign to commemorate that.
That's fantastic.
That's been your Twitter avatar like the whole time too, right? I think it's like always.
Yeah, I don't think I'm ever going to change it either. It's really, I mean, because it's not only is it a cool picture, but it's actually true. Like, I'm not in the picture, so it's perfect.
Another wrestling question. If you were making a Survivor Series team out of baseball players, like if you were the manager, I guess, of the team, and you had to pick them, and in wrestling, not in baseball, who would you pick?
Wow.
Current players also, too.
Current players.
Yeah.
Well, do I get to – do they have to be current Major League players?
I guess you can – because not to be current players.
Because Todd Coffey's down in the Mexican League right now. And I feel like I need him for a number of reasons. Number one, I don't know if he still has it, but his Twitter avatar was a picture of him with an Ultimate Warrior mask on. And if you remember, he used to sprint in from the bullpen. Like, that was his signature. And he did it because of the Ultimate Warrior. So I feel like just because of that, he has to be one of my guys.
Is he the guy who would have, like, brass knuckles in his little wrestler shorts, too?
No, I don't think so. Okay. He's a lover, not a fighter.
Okay.
But I feel like the wrestling mentality is there. Brett Laurie. You know, I feel like Brett Laurie is, like, baseball's Randy Orton. I mean, he's got like the sleeve tattoos, you know, he's got sort of like the swagger and the smirk. I feel like he would be a potentially good guy who could like transition between face and heel and do it well. I got to go for Dellin Betances is a big guy. CC Sabathia. I feel like Betances and Sabathia could be like a tag team called the Twin Towers.
There you go.
And so that's my, I feel bad leaving out Billy Butler, because I feel like I feel like Billy Butler could just, you know, I feel like he would be like the next generation of like Henry O. Godwin. Like remember Henry O. Godwin and Phineas I. Godwin. Remember the Godwin? What were they called?
I don't know those guys too well.
They were like farmers, and their initials were Hog and Pig.
I'm not going to give you a whole list, but I would pick Evan Gattis. I'll just say that.
Why would you pick Evan Gattis?
I don't know. He's Evan Gattis, man. He's got the beard. He's got the look. He looks like he'd be a pro wrestler. He seems to be very strong. I would pick Evan Gattis.
Who you Johnny got? Gomes, man.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
That's a very good
Johnny
one.
Johnny Gomes is like, he'd be like a like the third guy in your crew. Like sort of like
Johnny
X-Pac.
Johnny Gomes could cut a promo, though.
Yeah. Yeah,
like, he would hit you with the tire iron.
He'd be like your intercontinental guy who cuts a good promo, and he'd probably laugh like Jim the Anvil Neidhart and stroke his beard.
Yes, that's exactly. That's the great comp, Gomes and Neidhart. That's perfect.
All right, so same question, but instead of baseball players, you have to pick baseball writers.
I'm gonna take the fifth on that one.
Oh, okay.
I have learned that, because here's the thing: if you're saying that a writer needs to be a wrestler, like that is, I'm sorry, that's not a flattering thing necessarily. And I have learned that speaking ill of your own kind is the worst way to go. So I'm not going to go there. That's a great question for you guys to consider among yourselves. So,
can you beat Chris Cotillo in an arm wrestling contest?
Unquestionably.
I like how you answered that one for sure, though.
No, there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it.
Okay, good. I mean, you are like twice his age, so I hope so.
Did you guys know that there was like an epic arm wrestling match at the last winter meetings?
I was there, Jeff.
I was talking more to Swick than anyone. Okay.
No, tell me about it.
James Wagner at the Washington Post and Ryan Divish at the Seattle Times.
Oh, I'm familiar with both of them.
Kind of look alike. Like, they're both big dudes, like big, strong, sort of barrel-chested guys. And there's a little bit of resemblance, you know. They've got like dark skin. They've got sort of short crop black hair. And there is some very, very strong similarities between the two. And we told them that. And Wags suddenly says, like, oh, I could kick his ass. And so we're like, okay, let's see Wags put his money where his mouth is. And we were at, what time was it, Mike? Was it like 1 or 2?
No, well, when it happened or when you, yeah. I mean, you guys spent like 4 hours trying to make this happen. Let's back up and say that you poked the bear for a long time before.
Oh yeah, I was sitting next to Wags at dinner. I was saying, Wags, he could kick the crap out of you. Wags, you are such a wuss. I mean, it was much worse words than that. But that was the sentiment. And I was just feeding poor Wags. And Wags will, I mean, he will just buy into any nonsense that you tell him. It's a wonderful quality in a human being. It's great. And by the, you know, he's like, I'll do it. That's fine. I'll kick his ass. He started talking. I mean, he was talking crazy nonsense. And I was texting Divish what he was saying. And I mean, I was like the worst instigator of all time, man. Like, it was really bad. I'm sort of embarrassed at how bad it was. But at like 1 o'clock in the morning, after everyone had been drinking in the lobby, we went up this elevator and found a table that was the perfect height. And we gathered everyone up there. And Divish is like maybe 12 years older than Wags. I mean, Divish is like, I think like late 30s. Doesn't look a day over 30, but it seems like his late 30s. And he really wasn't all that interested in doing this because Wags is a little bit bigger than him. But he put up a fight, man, and it was so impressive. The next day, he comes up to me. He's like, I think I tore my biceps last night. And I looked at him, and I'm like, you might have, man, but you will go down in history for it. It was like, I mean, he was like William Wallace that night. He may have lost, but I will never, ever forget that moment.
All right, so now we got to get you to arm wrestle Cotillo.
I will. Anytime, any place. Wow.
You let him use two hands? Can he?
I could beat him with two hands. Wow.
Will you wear a hat forward and then do the hawk, Lincoln Hawk thing? Like.
Oh yeah, I'll do. This is an open challenge. This is an open challenge. That's my guy though. I like Cotillo for all of the nonsense I give him. He's a good kid, and he works hard, and I appreciate that from anyone.
Yeah, we'll cut that part out.
All right. Well, so switching gears here, during the season, if you get a day off, which I don't even know if you do, but what do you do when you actually have some time to spend not doing baseball stuff?
With my kids usually, and that's why it's nice having the book done now. Like, I feel like I can sort of have a life again, because I was kind of working two jobs at one time, and that's there are plenty of people out there, I'm sure plenty listening to this, who work two jobs. I have lots of respect for you, because it is a very, very difficult thing to do. So my kid plays baseball. He's learning, trying to learn golf. I actually went golfing yesterday for the first time in a long time, and it was fantastic. So, mostly with the family, though. It's a boring answer. It's true, though. I had wild days back with Mike when I was in Fresno. Those are long gone.
Jeff's not drinking Hennessy anymore and going to clubs.
I'm not drinking Hypnotic and going to the club.
All right, this is the grand finale, Jeff. This is the big question, and I think it came out of nowhere in our first episode, but I think it's the greatest question in the history of the Stew Pod, and I plan to ask it to many people, and you are number two. Would you rather your mom date Bryce Harper or A-Rod?
Oh my God.
Silence.
Oh God.
It's a good question.
I thought he just hung up on us.
I think he just took a pill and decided to die.
Well, see, Harper is the answer, but the age difference is just so creepy. Like, at least with A-Rod, the age difference would be somewhat, like, I think it would be like 15 years. But the Harper thing, it would be like Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher. Like, that would be creepy. I would still go with Harper. I think Harper, deep down, is actually a decent person. I don't think the same of Alex Rodriguez at all.
So would you call him Daddy Bryce, Stepdaddy Bryce, Stepdad Bryce? What do you think?
God, why did you ask me this?
You don't have to answer that, Jeff. That's...
You are the worst. I would, you know what?
SD Bryce.
You know what? If I could like inherit some money from him, because Bryce Harper's going to be like the first $400 million baseball player, I would probably be okay with that. I would call him Papa Bryce and be done with it.
There we go.
I took A-Rod.
Took A. You know what? The better question would be, Swick, if you could marry A-Rod or Bryce Harper, which would it be?
Oh, that's tough. I mean, I feel like Bryce Harper's a little too wild for me, a little too bro-y. Yeah,
I can sit down on the couch wants to and settle down and play catch.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't drink though. You know. I mean,
He probably loved Entourage the movie, and that's a problem for me.
Yeah, I can see that. There is some brotastic nature in Bryce Harper. No question about that.
I think Chris just wants to settle down and go eat at nice restaurants and
I just want to have a nice conversation, sit on the couch.
Yeah, Rod would play some poker with you too. Like you could play some good card games with him. You could discuss literature with him, I'm sure.
And your point about not knowing what to call the person, I mean, I could do Mr. Rodriguez, you know. I can't do
Mr. Call him Mr. Rodriguez.
I can't do Mr. Bryce. I can't do it.
Well, Chris, we've now changed it to the point where you're married to him.
No, I'm saying if he was dating my mom, you know.
Would you
Mr.
really
Rod?
Would you really call him Mr. Rodriguez?
No, I don't know what I'd call him, but I'd be more comfortable calling
Al,
him any
call
of
him,
those than.
Would you call him A-Rod?
Yeah, Mr. A-Rod, maybe.
You would not call him Mr. A-Rod.
I would rather say Mr. A-Rod than Mr. Bryce.
If you know what, you would call him Mr. Rod. That would be it.
Stepdaddy Al.
Step I love Daddy it. Al.
I think Al works. He would just be Al to you. How's Al?
Guys, I think we've reached the... We've reached the end. Yeah, we there's nowhere else to go. So
this is your fault.
Well, that's why I put it at the end, man. If this is the first question, we would just have devolved. And
it's Mike's fault. It's not my fault. It's Mike's.
No, it's totally Mike's fault.
Okay,
and
good.
And I blame you for I don't even blame you for asking the question.
It's a great question.
No, I blame you for thinking of the question.
Yeah,
it's a great question.
It's a horrible question. My good Lord.
One day I will have to answer it myself.
No, but I want to see who did you ask that to?
Chris. Chris Me. Is the only one who's been
exactly.
Asked
I want to see you ask that to a ball player. That's when it'll reach the fun point.
Hey man,
I want to see Jock Peterson come back on and you ask him that.
If hopefully by the end of whenever we're doing this thing, we have enough. We can do a whole episode of greatest hits where we just have people. Answering the Bryce Harper A-Rod question. just 25 people answering it, and I think that's a good goal for the Stew Pod.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
If we're going to
get Pete Rose, and that's Pete Rose.
Oh, gosh.
Would you Pete Rose put odds on who would pick Bryce Harper and who would pick A-Rod? All right. I think we are full circle, guys. Jeff, thank you for being here. Everybody who listened this far, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Chris, I hope people don't hate you as much next week.
Well, we'll see.
Cardinals fans will.
No guarantees. I can take it.
This has been the Stew Pod. See you guys next week.
Good times. me some good times. Man, we used to pull up and let them fight at that hood time. Remember, I used to